I'm longing for dear old Broadway, longing for dear old town. Yes, I'm longing to stroll on Broadway, watching the world go round. To be back where the boys all know me, back where the girls all bow.
This is the North Carolina Theater Story Show. I'm your host, Lynn Pryor. James Johnson is our technical director. We're coming to you from the 100-year-old house, former home of the Gilbert Theater, here in historic Haymont in Fayetteville, North Carolina. This is show number one. Today I'm beginning a weekly series of interviews with artistic directors. Our first guest is Robin Parrish, the current artistic director of the Gilbert Theater. Robin is a graduate of the North Carolina School of the Arts, founder of Sonnet Theater Company in New York City, an equity actress. I could go on and on, but Robin, this is a 30-minute show, so I'm stopping right there. But welcome.
Thank you. I'm very excited to be here for the very first show.
Well, it's hard to believe that you have been in this town for 3 years.
3 years. Yes, a little more than 3 years, I guess, right?
Absolutely. And it's just been a blink of the eye, but it's been you've been producing and directing and about 15 shows by my calculation since mm-hmm. you arrived here.
Yeah.
One strong show after another. One of the things we're going to do this today together is talk about one of those plays. But before we do that, I want to read a quote from Eugene Ionesco, which is just, to me, this is theater stories. Listen to this. Theater is not literature, propaganda, or philosophy. It is simply what cannot be expressed by any other means. A complexity of words, movements, gesture, that convey a vision of the world unexpressible in any other way. Isn't that marvelous?
It's beautiful.
You know, whenever we kind of get discouraged about, the options that people have these days for entertainment, all these screens and all that. Well, this what we do is unique. It's live, and as Ionesco says, it's no other way that can get this across. And how true that definition is for me when we think about Streetcar Named Desire.
Mm.
It was, Robin, it was absolutely superb. It was what theater at its best can be, should be. And so today I'd like us to talk about how did this happen? How did Streetcar Named Desire happen? You know, if I pick up the script here of the play by Tennessee Williams, it's 120 or 30 pages long. It's, just a very light little thing here. Well, some people call this a blueprint, the script.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you have to know how to read blueprints if you're going to build a building.
Mm-hmm.
And you certainly have to have the chops to take this little script and turn into what all of you did there
mm-hmm.
at this past winter in February. I went 7 times. I could have gone all 12 performances.
Wow.
All 12 performances. So, of course, you start with, first of all, you start with an idea of what theater can be, I would say. Wouldn't you, first of all?
Well, I mean, first, the play, obviously, I wish I could remember why that play. I have a feeling that it came out of conversation I had with the lead actress, Amanda Brooke Lerner.
I see.
Actually, that is exactly what happened.
I see.
A couple of years ago, I was speaking with the lead actress who played Blanche, Amanda Brooke Lerner, who lives in New York, about a play that we could do together. That was actually...
Because you were thinking of doing Stella.
I was thinking of playing Stella or doing something, because I have yet to actually do a play at the Gilbert, which is
true.
Something that I do want to do one day.
Certainly.
When the time is right. So we were brainstorming and thinking, what could we do together? And so we came up with Streetcar, and then we sort of had to figure out, who would play which role? And so we made the decision that hopefully, if everything worked out, and this was far in advance of the actual show, she would play the role of Blanche, and I would play the role of Stella. Of course,
her sister. Yes,
her sister. Of course, a year and a half later, 2 years. I don't know how long. It was later, you know, by that time things had changed and I was unavailable, but Amanda was still available, which was fantastic because she was a wonderful, thrilling Blanche DuBois.
Well, she could, I think, do anything. She's a new equity actress, I understand.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we were thrilled when we found out that she was coming back. She had been in an earlier play and caused quite a stir in town.
Mm-hmm.
So you choose the play. And people, most people agree that this is one of America's great modern classics,
mm-hmm.
Masterpiece.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I heard you were going to do it, it was part of your third season, I wasn't the least, but I was just thrilled because I knew that even though if people think they know it or not, and that people would want to see it. And mm-hmm. So we had very, very good houses, didn't we, for that?
Yes, I mean, it's a recognizable name. People know the film.
Yeah.
And even if they've only seen bits and pieces of it, they think, oh, that's that movie with, you know,
yeah.
Liz Taylor and Vivian
Leigh.
Vivian Leigh. And I've got to see it, and I'm thinking of Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. That was Liz Taylor, right?
So the play is chosen. And it's, you know, it's very important that these choices be right on the money. I mean,
right.
I was artistic director of the Gilbert for 18 years, and fortunately there are just a handful of plays that I kind of regret having chosen, because the buck stops here with the artistic director.
And that happens. I mean, you choose, usually you're, you know,
yes,
you make all the right decisions, but every once in a while.
Once in a while, something. And so that does happen.
Something's just not right.
And so how did this happen? Well, you choose an outstanding play. Then what next?
Well, you choose the director. Mm-hmm. And A Streetcar actually went through several directors before it landed in the hands of Brian Adam Kline.
Oh, yes.
It went through, I'd say, two or three hands before Brian took over. And that, again, has to do with the fact that, you know, we live in a small town with a few really great directors, and they're always working as actors or directors or professors or busy doing other things. And so as people became unavailable, finally Brian took over the project. So Brian Adam Kline was the director assigned to, and actually he had the play for, I'd say, about six or eight months before we actually did it.
Yes. Which has to happen,
mm-hmm.
so that they can be absolutely doing their job, which is this huge amount of preparation.
Right.
And so there's all this that happens behind, before actors even step on stage for table readings or for rehearsals. But Amanda, in the meantime, Amanda... Lerner, our wonderful Amanda, knew about this play and was researching and doing and work on it,
mm-hmm.
all the while before she even arrived in town.
Yes.
And so then the casting happens, and it's not only Amanda was excellent, but Stanley was excellent.
Yes, we always hold local auditions here in Fayetteville, and honestly, we just didn't find a Stanley. And so I started throwing my net out. And again, there were several Stanley contenders, Stanley possibilities, before it landed with Chris Daftios. But, you know, he ultimately was our Stanley
and was superb.
He was amazing. So glad to have him.
You know, sometimes in community theater, but you don't call it that strictly community theater anymore, don't you? You call it
semi-professional theater.
Which I was thrilled to see that movement in that description, Robin.
And I have a wonderful definition of it, which I will find before we finish today.
Oh, good. All right. But, you know, sometimes when people think about making a decision to see a community theater, one of the things that they often are kind of disappointed in is, I've noticed over the years, and I myself, is that the acting chores will be uneven. Mm-hmm. They'll have someone very, very strong, or two or three, but many of the supporting actors are amateurs.
Right.
But with the casting that you've been doing lately, because now you were the producer of all the plays,
mm-hmm.
all the 15 or plus that you've been doing. So can you?
Well, and like you said, I mean, we had a fine cast. I mean, it really was solid from top to bottom. We had wonderful leads, but we had fantastic supporting actors as well, and all local talent.
So we have this is the metro area here in Fayetteville. I think it's 250,000 people. I think I'm right on that. And so there is a pool that mm-hmm. that is deeper than I think in some.
Yeah, let me share this with you because I know you're going to appreciate it.
All right.
This is the, and I wanted to read it because I didn't want to get it wrong. The definition in my mind of semi-professional theater. As a semi-professional theater, we meld the traditions of volunteerism, camaraderie, and entertainment of community theater with the artistic goals, education, and professional staff of a regional theater.
Oh, Robin, that's...
So it's marrying the two. It's just, you know, taking that next step,
but
not losing any of the traditional values of community theater.
Right.
So I thought that was...
Oh, it's marvelous, and I recommend you... get that into the programs.
Yes, I should. It's on the website, but I will put it in the programs.
In the
good
programs
idea.
From now on. So that's excellent. And so, okay, we have a play, we have a director, we have your casting. I suppose you had a good turnout.
We had a great turnout. Actually, I'm trying to think. I think we auditioned for the first three shows of the season together.
Oh, that's right.
And we had a huge turnout, and everyone was interested in being a part of Streetcar.
Uh-huh.
And I think they just had a feeling that it was going to be something really special.
Yes.
Aside from the fact that it is a special play and,
right.
I think they just knew it was going to be a special experience.
Uh-huh. Which it was. So the cast is chosen. Then you begin rehearsals. Now, how big are you backstory in given circumstances? Do you urge
for myself
how do you approach it yourself, or how do you urge actors to do it, or how do you urge your directors to flesh that out, how the actors are going to do it?
Well, I mean, I'm a student of Stanislavski, so given circumstances are huge for me. I mean, that's where it all starts. I mean, your spine, obviously, is where it begins, but
right. Given
circumstance. And I mean, and as far as asking the director to, I try not to get too involved in their process, because a lot of directors work very, differently, and it doesn't, as much as I'd like to think my way is the best way, doesn't always mean that it won't be a fantastic product. I do know that people like Amanda Lerner and Chris Dafsios, who played Blanche and Stanley, are students of, our Stanislavski students and Meisner students, and so they do that kind of work on their own.
Right.
And I know that some directors expect the actors to do that kind of homework on their own.
Yeah.
As an educator, I oftentimes bring it into the process
mm-hmm.
in directing, but I don't know that everybody does that,
Right. But you choose directors for a season, and then you monitor them. You give them their head, so to speak, but you also monitor them.
Well, I do. I mean, I attend as many rehearsals as possible. I take notes. I I generally get involved. I mean, I'm involved in every aspect. Sure. Certainly the, you know, set design and costuming and props and all of those things. And I get involved in the vocal technique. A lot of times I'm the vocal coach on the shows as well. So.
Okay, so then here we are. The original theater, Gilbert Theater, was just downstairs from where we are right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's that stage, Robin's 11 and a half by 13. But we did, for 18 years, we did wonderful, wonderful shows, 49 plays down there.
Mm-hmm.
But now our stage at downtown on Bow Street is 25 by 25, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're choosing these plays we talk about, you have to take into consideration the building. I mean, the stage. Can we handle this?
Right.
And it's been amazing how you've been able. There's no fly space. You've been able to bring in stairs like the streetcar. You have this. It's a two-story house in New Orleans. And you have the stairs for that. It's very important. But you made it work. But these are things you have to consider, isn't it?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Also, then, as far as you have auditions for something, but as you say, you had a large number of people turn out, so you had a lot of people to choose from.
We did. We absolutely did, and we were able to choose the finest actors I think Fayetteville has to offer. So we came away with a fantastic cast.
Well, and so you were able to, but there must be times when you're looking at plays when you say to yourself, you know, we just can't do it. It's too expensive. It's too the costumes, the staging.
Yes. There are so many variables involved in choosing a play and saying and marrying it. And you know, in essence, I mean, you're saying I'm doing this play.
Yeah.
This is going on all of the material. We are doing this play next year, and it's almost like a checklist in your mind. We probably should make one on paper.
Uh-huh.
But a checklist in your mind of it. Can we afford it, number one?
Yes.
But even if, you know, we can't put it up, we can't possibly manage the production values of a Broadway theater, you know, that's not who we are,
but
can we make it work in our space?
When you did Rent, it was superb.
Those
different levels. No, I applaud you. Again, downstairs, 8.5 by 13, that was number foremost in my thoughts. Sometimes we had to use the aisles.
Mm.
But that's the challenge. But right now we're talking about how did Streetcar happen? How did this superb gift to the community happen? And we're fleshing that out right now.
In a nutshell, I would say that Streetcar happened as a result of a very collaborative effort by a highly motivated, very dedicated group of people known as the Gilbert Theater, most of which are a part of our company, some of which are, you know, were coming from out of state. Like, but we worked as a cast and a crew to make this play happen very much as a unit, I think. I mean, you know, it was just something that...
Yeah.
It was the magic that they talked about.
Well, no, the theater magic. I think when everyone really is committed to it, and when you choose, first, again, the play is the thing. If you choose an outstanding play like this, there's not going to be any...
It's hard to mess it up, really, in the end.
Right.
We could have messed it up more, and there were things that, you know, here and there, but...
With the standing ovations night after night. And, you know, Amanda was so amazing. We had, just before she left to return to New York, I took her out to dinner, and she was talking about, well, there was one scene where Mitch asked me my age, and I felt that I did not do as well in that little scene as I might have. And I was looked at her, I was astonished. fine acting, actors for you.
Mm-hmm.
There's always something, little something to look at. And of course...
Oh, yes. Amanda certainly never thought she was anywhere in the realm of probably where we all felt she was. There was always, it was never right.
Well, and that's, I've noticed over the years that the real super outstanding people are that way. And I got to look at her script with all the notes in the margins. And so it's this thing that we're involved in, Robin, known as theater, is endlessly fascinating, challenging, and at times terrifying. But I think we've just about covered that topic. We can go on and on, but I'm getting a look and notes from technical director James, and we better move on. And why don't we go next to your sonnet?
Okay.
And I think we're going to have some music in the background, are we, James?
Yeah, we can try to... If not, then clearly I failed miserably, or I just felt that it was more dramatic without it, and I'll say it was an artistic decision.
Well, we will honor that. And now, Robin, which one did you choose and why?
This is Sonnet 116, which I studied in undergraduate school at the University of North Carolina School of the Arts, and then I revisited when I went to the Royal National Theatre in London. And I worked with Sir Ian McKellen on this sonnet.
Oh,
so it's very close to my heart.
Oh, my.
And I know it cold, so I'm just going to do it for you.
Wow.
And it's a beautiful sonnet about love, and it's uplifting and hopeful. And
well, all right. Music? No.
The music doesn't happen live.
Adding it in later. I'm a novice at this. Thank you, Jim.
Okay, I'll try to imagine the music beneath me. Okay. Let me not to the marriage of true minds admit impediments. Love is not love which alters when it alteration finds, or bends with removal to remove. Oh no, it is an ever fixed mark that looks on tempests and is never shaken. It is a star to every wandering bark, whose worth's unknown, although its height be taken. Love's not time's fool, though rosy lips and cheeks within its bending sickle's compass come. Love alters not with its brief hours and weeks, but bears it out even to the edge of doom. If this be error, and upon me proved, I never writ, nor no man ever loved.
Oh my gosh, Robin. Oh my gosh, that was beautiful.
You gotta have a sonnet in your pocket.
Well, that's a beautiful one. I think there are 154 of them, and that's going to be one of my favorites.
It is one of the more positive ones, because a lot of them are quite not positive.
Yeah.
A lot of them are very like, we're getting old, and I'm dying, and you better have kids. And
so Ian McKellen, one of my favorite actors, what a trip. What a joy to work with him, Robin. Now we also are going to have a theater game.
Yay, theater game!
And James, since we need two people to compete, and whoever knows the answer, raise your hands. All right, I'm going to give famous theater quotes,
okay. And
if you raise your hand, you can tell me the character and the play.
I'm pretty sure I'm going to fail miserably, but okay.
Well, I think we'll both fail. I'm not going to fail six.
All right, number one. Which character says, "Unsex me here"? Robin.
Lady M. From Macbeth.
Lady M. In this Scottish play. Good. Okay. You have one.
Should she have like a buzzer
one.
Or something?
Well, I should
Did
have...
you know it?
No, I had no idea. I just wanted to...
We can buzz. We can make buzzing noises.
Okay,
make it buzz. Okay, good. Number two. I fell in love with James Tyrone, and we were happy for a time.
Buzz, a raisin in the sun.
No.
I don't know.
Was that racist of me? I just thought Tyrone seems like...
I don't know.
Eugene O'Neill. Long day's journey.
I don't know that. No, I didn't know. Okay. That
I've seen it. I can't promise I was awake for the entire
thing.
Well,
we did it a couple of years ago, and
that was a long play, I imagine.
Well, yes, and very long. I did every word of it.
Nice.
Yeah.
You got to do it.
You have to do it. Number three. So good night to you all. Give me your hand. if we be friends, and Robin shall restore amends.
It has your name in it, for God's sakes. You should get this one. It's got Robin right in it.
Shakespeare.
No, it's Robin. I don't know.
Yeah, I
Midsummer!
Midsummer Night's Dream. That's how Puck ends the play.
Next time I feel like this should be multiple choice.
Number four. Find someone for Laura.
Buzz. A Glass Menagerie.
Glass Menagerie. Another Tennessee Williams.
I'm at 0 points now.
Well, James, you have other strengths. Number five. Whoever you are, I've always depended on the kindness of strangers.
Come on, I'll let you answer this one.
Okay, that one, I think, I'm just going to throw this guess out there. A streetcar named Desire?
Hey! Excellent.
Pulling that name out of thin air.
It could have easily been a Glass Menagerie.
I have a point. Robin, did you bring a book to share?
A book?
Uh-huh. Oh, I'm sorry. That's all right.
Oh, I must have missed that.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's all right. Anyway, we'll always end our time together for our theater stories with the sharing theater books. This one is hot off the press. It's called Why Acting Matters by David Thompson. It's really a long essay. There's a big section on Streetcar in here. And did you know who was scheduled to play Stanley to begin with in the movie? Was John Garfield. Mm-hmm. But he said unless Tennessee Williams increased the size of his part with Stanley, he wasn't going to do it. That was rather dumb of him. And then Burt Lancaster was a possibility for Stanley. But then Elia Kazan was directing it. Kept talking about Marlon Brando. He said, he's too young, he's only 23. He should be in his late 20s for this part. But, of course, the rest of his history was chosen. And because he played it on stage with Jessica Tandy.
And he was, I believe, the only actor not to be nominated for an Oscar for that performance.
For that movie.
Which goes to show that clearly his was the worst performance in the film. What that means.
All right, now I want you to stop channeling Oscar Levant, please, James. But this is what this reviewer said about this book, Robin, and why I spent the $25 to get it at Barnes & Noble. But we always... talking about the author, David Thompson, about the whole book, but he always returns to a central point. Our lives are filled with repetition as we play the same roles day after day. But watching an extraordinary actor perform lets us imagine that nothing in life is Let's imagine that another life is possible.
Nice. Beautiful.
Is that?
Yeah, I'm going to be stealing that from you while you're sleeping.
What's the name of that book again?
It's called Why Acting Matters.
David
Thompson.
We'll put a link up on the website for it.
All right. Well, Robin, I think we've come to the end of our time together. It's gone so fast. And so I'm going to proceed to sign off. This is Lynn Pryor asking James to dim the lights and go to black while I urge you all to find a play to see this week. And the one that we come up with is a play that you, Robin, are in right now, Hairspray, down in Temple Theater in Sanford.
And how many more dates are left?
There are two more weekends.
Thursday through Sunday. Thursdays 2 and 7, Fridays and Saturdays at 8, and Sundays at 2.
And we're going, Bob and I are going in on Saturday next.
Yay!
So until next Thursday, thank you for your company.
For I'm longing for dear old Broadway. longing for dear old town. Yes, I'm longing to stroll on Broadway, watching the world go round, to be back where the boys all know me, back